Are you walking through life and find yourself simply preoccupied with you, with your good, with your welfare, with your well-being, and you just care about you? Have you ever looked beyond you to others, dear one? Have you ever thought, what about these people? What is their future? Do they have hope? And have you seen your call from God to minister to them? We'll talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. We don't like to hear about the judgment of God. We don't like to hear the fact that we are accountable before God for the way that we are living. We get preoccupied with our own world, and as long as we're in our own bubble, taking care of ourselves, we're okay. We don't look beyond ourselves. And then suddenly something happens. Suddenly, there's a disaster, and suddenly we are awakened to a world that is broader than our bubble. And we see, hey, there is evil reigning in this world, and we become frightened, and we think, what are we going to do? We've heard about judgment coming. We've heard about judgment coming. We've also heard, oh no, there will be peace. Oh no, God would never allow this to happen. We may hear in the United States of America, but this is a great nation. But this is a nation that is needed by God because we've sent forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, or because we are the democratic nation of the world, and we're the leader and all this and that. And we think almost that we're invincible. And because we're invincible, we go back into our bubble where it's all about moi. It's all about me. And we're just fighting to make me happy, to keep me and my own little people in my own little bubble happy. We look at what's on us and about us and everything, and it does not grieve our hearts, because it only touches us. Only when it touches us is it going to cause us pain. We've come to Jeremiah chapter 39. We have come to an account that God has been talking about through Jeremiah since the days of Josiah, since the 13th year of the reign of Josiah. It is now the reign of Zedekiah. Zedekiah is in his final time as king. And this is what comes to pass. Jeremiah chapter 39, I want you to look at it, and we're going to look at it and talk about what God's precepts for life are for us in the light of that. Let me read it to you. Now when Jerusalem was captured, in the 9th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, so you've got these 2 years of siege. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, in the 9th day of the month, the city was breached. The city wall was breached. It was broken down. It was overcome. They came into the city. The walls could not protect them. And the walls could not protect them because of their sin. Because this is what God had ordained. This is the calamity that he had fashioned. Remember, we saw that this week. In Jeremiah chapter 36, he's telling them, he's saying, take a scroll. And this is in the days of Jehoiakim. Write down all these words. Read it to the people. Perhaps, verse 3, the house of Judah will hear of all the calamity which I plan to bring on them, in order that every man may turn from their evil way, and I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I'm bringing the calamity. Who was it that brought the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, down against Jerusalem? It was God. He had said it to his prophet Habakkuk, I am raising up an army, a terrible, terrible group of people, and I am bringing them down as judges on you. Prophet after prophet had spoken of this day. Prophet after prophet had spoken of this time, and yet while you heard the prophets that were prophesying the word of God, you had other prophets over here on the other hand that are prophesying, oh no, no, oh no, 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 peace, peace, peace. It says the false prophets prophesy peace, and my people love it so. But what will you do in the day of calamity? What will you do? Well, watch what happens. It's finally here. It's finally here. It says, then all the officials of the king of Babylon came in and sat down at the middle gate. Now Babylon's inside the gate. The Jews were sitting in the middle gate at one time. Nergal saw Azer, Samgar, Nebu, Sarseskim, the Rabsaris means the chief official, Nergal, Sar, Ezer, the Rab Mag, and the Rab Mag simply means a high official, and all the rest of the officials of the king of Babylon. I was talking to Tom Hall the other day, and he's our executive director, and just as I was listening to him today in an all-staff meeting, which we have every month, and I was sitting there listening to this man, and I thought, God, what a godly man you have given us. Well, I told him the other day, I said, I've decided that you're the Rabsaris. You're the Rabsaris. You are the chief official. When I was reading this and preparing this lesson to teach you, it says, when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, they fled, and they went out of the city at night by way of the king's garden through the gate. They had a way of escape plan between the two walls, and he went out toward the Arabah. The Arabah is south of Jerusalem. But, this judgment, remember, is of God. This calamity is of God. And it's a calamity because they have not listened. It's a calamity because they have not obeyed. The Rechabites just obeyed their forefathers forever. And they were rewarded. These people were held up as an example to the children of Israel to obey, to observe what God's saying. I will spare you. King Zedekiah, as we saw yesterday in chapter 38, could have saved the whole city at the last minute. All he had to do was care about more than him. All he had to do was walk outside that city. All he had to do was surrender. If he had surrendered, the temple wouldn't have been destroyed. If he had surrendered, his palaces wouldn't have been destroyed. If he had surrendered, the city would not have been burned with fire. The walls would not have been broken down. It says, but the army of the Chaldeans pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And they seized him and brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah in the land of Hamath. And he passed sentence on him. King of Babylon's up there in Riblah. Look at your map and you will see it. And you say, where do I get the map? Well, you go to preceptsforlife.com and you download our study guide and you'll have your map and you'll see where Riblah is. And he passed sentence on him. So they capture him as he's on his way to the plains of Jericho, as he is on his way to the Arabah. He thinks he can escape, and he can't. and he's taken to Nebuchadnezzar at Riblah. And it says, then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah. That means he killed them before his eyes at Riblah. Zedekiah is watching, and his sons are slain by Nebuchadnezzar. He could have saved himself if he had gotten out of his own bubble. But remember, he was afraid to obey. He was afraid when he'd be taken to Babylon that the people there would hurt him. Well, now what is he doing? He's standing before, now listen, you ain't heard anything yet. He's standing before Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is letting him watch as Nebuchadnezzar's men put his sons to death. And then it says the king of Babylon also slew the nobles of Judah. Now, these were the nobles of Judah that were trying to persuade Nebuchadnezzar. I gather they were among the officials trying to persuade Zedekiah that they should kill Jeremiah and get rid of him because he was discouraging the men of war. They never had a chance of winning. And they didn't have a chance of winning. And I want you to know, it's the same for me and it's the same for you. You may have a temporary victory. You may have a temporary relief, even as they had when Pharaoh came up and Babylon withdrew, but they came back. You may have temporary relief in your bubble. But listen, your behavior is bigger than your bubble. And you're going to see that when you look at the scriptures, that God holds us accountable for our sense of responsibility towards others. But you know what? I still haven't finished with what happened to Zedekiah. We'll look at that in just a minute. You don't want to miss a word because it's the word of God.
Forty-five years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee, in a barn actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
It finally happened. Jeremiah had prophesied and prophesied and prophesied. He had prophesied to the king. He had prophesied to the officials. He had prophesied to the people. Now, finally, it has come to pass. Now, finally, it is transpiring. And Jerusalem has been taken. And Zedekiah thinks that he can escape. He has a plan and he can run and he can hide. But oh no, there is a God in heaven. And there is a God in heaven that judges us according to our deeds. We're not saved by our deeds. We're saved by faith. But faith is taking God at His word. Faith is hearing what God says and obeying and living in the light of it. Salvation is a salvation of obedience, believing that God is God and ordering your life as such. So remember, they have taken Zedekiah and they have slain his sons before his eyes. They have slain the nobles of Judah. Now watch what it says, verse 7 of Jeremiah 39. He then blinded Zedekiah's eyes, bound him in fetters of bronze to bring him to Babylon. He's going to Babylon anyway. He didn't want to go out and surrender to the king because he was afraid he'd go to Babylon and they would torment him. The Jews in Babylon would torment him. And that's why he didn't want to do it. The fear of man brings a snare. Oh, what a snare it brought to him. What a snare. Beloved, every time you fear man rather than fearing God, it brings a snare and it brings a feeling of such failure if you know God. And it says the Chaldeans burned with fire the king's palace and the houses of the people. And they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Now listen, if Zedekiah had gotten outside his bubble, if he had been concerned for the city, if he had been concerned for the people instead of his own flesh and his own welfare, all of this would have been spared if only he had listened. You know, I meet so many people that wish that they had listened to God. But they didn't. Instead of trusting God, they went to alcohol, they went to drugs, they went to meth, they could make their own meth. It's, you know, they went to all these things. And then they're just in a pit of despair because they did not believe God. It's like everything destructs, everything's burned up. It says, as for the rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had gone over to him and to the rest of the people who remained, Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the bodyguard, carried them into exile in Babylon. I mean, they were going to be well off. Remember, Jeremiah says, when you get to Babylon, you pray for the welfare of Babylon. You settle down, you build homes, you plant vineyards. You're going to be there. They're going to be there for 70 years. We know that. We've seen it. But he says, you settle down. They were better off there than they were in the city where they were eating their own children. As for the rest of the people, well, it says, but some of the people, verse 10, the poorest people who had nothing, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, aren't you? I hope you can relate to me a little bit, were left behind in the land of Judah, and he gave them vineyards and fields at that time. So they were, I mean, they were better off. They were given vineyards and fields. They could go out and get them. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave orders about Jeremiah through Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the bodyguard, saying, take him and look after him. Do nothing harmful to him, but rather deal with him just as he tells you. Whatever Jeremiah wants, give it to him. Now that is really something. And you have to stop and think about this. Tommy Hamill, who is a very close friend, an intimate friend of mine, and we've been in this ministry for years, and this is not a women's ministry. Most of our leadership is male, but Tommy and I were discussing this. We take teaching tours, the ministry does, to Greece, and we teach Philippians and Philippi, Thessalonians and Thessaloniki, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and Revelation on the Isle of Patmos, Ephesians and Ephesus. We do all this. And we were sitting on the plane and we were talking about this. And the thing that she pointed out is, she said, did you notice? And I hadn't. Did you notice that Nebuchadnezzar himself is giving instructions about Jeremiah? Nebuchadnezzar knows about Jeremiah. Nebuchadnezzar had Daniel in his court. Daniel read the letters from Jeremiah. Daniel knew about the captivity and how long it would be. And here is protection. This is what I want you to see. Zedekiah doesn't listen. He ends up with his sons being slain, the nobles being slain, everything he has destroyed, being blinded and taken to Babylon after all. Now, he says, they even took and sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the guardhouse and entrusted him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, to take him home. So he stayed among the people. Now the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was confined in the court of the guardhouse before this time, before the siege, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to bring my words on this city for disaster and not for prosperity. And they will take place before you on that day. But I will deliver you on that day. In the courthouse, before the siege came, God was promising Ebed-Melech that although the city would be taken and people would be destroyed, he would be rescued. I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord, and you will not be given into the hand of the men whom you dread. For I will certainly rescue you, and you will not fall by the sword, but you will have your own life as booty, because you trusted in me, says the Lord. Remember, Ebed-Melech got out of his bubble and he was concerned about Jeremiah being in that cistern, being in that mud, and he was the one that rescued him. He was the one that risked the ire of the king. He was the one. And what you see here is you see God taking care of Jeremiah. You see God taking care of Ebed-Melech. You see God taking care of the Rechabites. Why? Because they were people of integrity. Because they listened. Because they observed. Because they obeyed. And that's God's word to you today. In Ezekiel, which we will study, in Ezekiel chapter 9, he talks about people that sigh and groan over all the abominations being committed in their midst, outside their bubble. And in Ezekiel 9, he tells how he is going to spare those people. Oh, beloved, don't live in your own bubble, because your bubble is influenced by the world around you. You need to remember that you need to get out of that. You need to stand for God. You need to remember that you are to be a spokesman for God, that you are to proclaim His word in season and out of season, that you are to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, that you are not your own, that you have been bought with a price, and that you are to glorify God in your body. You are to be a Jeremiah for today.
on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
What is our precept for life today? Did you catch those last words of Jeremiah chapter 39 when he's speaking about Ebed-Melech? Because you trusted in me. Oh, beloved, the Bible tells us that we are not to lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways and everything that we do, we are to acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. That comes from the book of Jeremiah. We are to trust in him. Yes, we may go through difficult situations. Yes, we have to get out of our bubble. Yes, we have to think about others. But precious one, if we will not do it. I forget what his name is and it just escaped me, but it's a man that talked about living in Germany and talking about when this group came and when that group came and that group came. It didn't concern him until he realized that now they were inside his bubble. And because he did not do anything before that, he suffered. Precious ones, listen to me. You and I are to not fear any man. Rather, we are to trust in the Lord. Our trust is to be the Lord, and we are to walk in the way that he says. He watches over his word to perform it. You are learning about the future. You are seeing what came to pass. And the week before this, we saw God talking about how he would restore the fortunes of Israel. And he does. And he's going to again. There is a future. There is a hope for Israel. And there's a future and a hope for us who believe God, who cling to him, as Jeremiah 13:11 says, as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, so that we, you and I, might be people for praise and renown and for glory. Just remember this. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this. Without faith, what is faith? Trusting God, taking him at his word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those who come to him, to God, must believe that he is. He is what? He is God. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Get out of your bubble. Trust God. Be his man, his woman in this hour.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.